This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Oh, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
And it is the Garden Hotline for a cloudy Saturday morning. I'm Scott Jagow, glad to be joined by Jeff and Glenn, our experts this week. They've been here before. They're veterans of this program. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Scott.
Give us a little resume for those who haven't heard you guys before.
Okay. Well, my name's Jeff Kendall. I'm a project manager, landscape designer, sales guy with Horstman Brothers Landscape, and we are a full-service landscape company. We do everything from turf care and design build landscaping, tree shrub care, irrigation, lighting. So, you know, we try to cover it all. We do residential and commercial. I've been there since 02, and great place to be. Give us a call if you need any help.
Hey, good morning. My name is Glenn Kramer, and I'm with G.R. Robinson Seed and Service Company. My son Ben and I run that company and been doing so for about 25 years. And we're a wholesale distributor of grass seed and fertilizer to the golf and landscape industry. We sell a retail product called George's Magic Mix that we're very proud of, and been around in the industry for my entire adult life.
Yeah? What's magic about it?
Just the word. To be honest with you, yeah.
The price.
And so, you know, if you believe in magic.
Glenn, that was a softball.
If you believe in magic, it's more
question.
Than a song.
You're not supposed to say that.
we do a lot of research in our seed buying, and we try to buy seeds that perform well in the Midwest. And what I will tell you, and I'll tell everybody, you know, the seed is about one-tenth of the success of your lawn. Buying the best seed doesn't allow you to scalp it or not fertilize or not water it. It takes other things to make a successful lawn, which probably be a good theme for today because everybody's ramping up their lawn applications and getting ready for spring.
So seeds are one-tenth is what you said?
About. You know, that's just my opinion. So it's when I teach classes at the Botanical Garden and at Merrimack Community College, everybody wants to have what is the best seed. And when I hear the words best seed, I equate to I don't want to do anything to it. I just want to spend the most on seed but then neglect the rest of the duties, which my favorite analogy is it's like buying the best treadmill, but then staring at it or using it as a clothes customer and wondering why you're not getting a benefit from it. So if you buy the best seed and you don't do the best cultural practices, you're kind of wasting your money. If you don't want to do the right thing, you might as well buy the cheapest seed and you'll have the same success rate, which would be zero. So, you know.
All right. If 90% is something else, what are some of the other things, components of successful gardening?
For me, well, for lawns in particular, it's mowing height, fertilization, and watering. You know, there's a direct correlation to the mowing height and the root depth, and then the root depth equates to fungal resistance, drought resistance, and insect resistance. So without good roots, you're not going to have a successful plant. And the same could be said for a lot of plants, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. And to Glenn's point, you know, what he's getting at on the turf, we want to be mowing the grass on a higher setting than a lot of people do. What are you recommending these days? 3.5, Glenn? Or? Yeah,
the first one or two mowings, I don't mind at 2 or 2.5, but by April 1st, it should be at 3.5. If you can get 4, go 4.
Yeah, and that will help the grass, especially later in the summer, and that's the problem time for St. Louis. So, you know, it's pretty easy to keep grass green in April. You know, it's what it's doing in July and August that counts, I guess. You know,
so. Correct. Yeah, and also the times of mowing. A lot of people think mowing is dictated by Saturdays. It's not. It's growth cycle. The rule is to try to remove 1/3 of the growth of the blade of grass, and sometimes that'll be in 5 days in April or May, depending on your fertilizer schedule. But in July and August, that might only be once or twice a month.
Mm.
It changes.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about all kinds of subjects. The reason we're here is for you, though, to answer your questions, your specific questions you have as we are on the Ides of March. Spring is coming this week. So there are lots of things to talk about. The number to call in and ask your question of Jeff and Glenn is 314-436-7900. Again, it's 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX, and we'll get to your questions after a short break. It is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, joined this week by Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson Seed. Answering your questions, that's what we're here for, at your service. The number to call in and ask yours is 314-436-7900. 7900. Let's go to the phones with Jerry. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yes. This is Jerry. I'd like to know, a couple of weeks ago, I think you mentioned something about a weed killer for weeds. I want to re-sow my grass seed. So what type of a killer was that?
Yeah, there's a product called Miso or Misotrione. You can use in conjunction with your seed. So you have to read the label, which is really the most important part of any chemical. It's the last thing you can do after sowing the seed. And you can either spray over the top of your lawn, or you can buy a fertilizer that has the product sprayed onto it and spread it over the top of your seed. But it's the only product I know that is safe to use in a spray or a granular. There's also a product called Quinclorac that will kill some broadleaf weeds also, that you can spray after seeding. But again, it's the last thing you can do. You can't do that first and then spread your seed. So the devil's in the details. And I always say that label, like I said, is the most important part of any chemical. You got to educate yourself so that you do the right thing environmentally and safely to yourself. Hope that helps you, Jerry.
All right, thanks for the question, Jerry. 314-436-7900 is the number to call in to talk to Jeff and Glenn. So with these storms that rolled through last night, what is your experience with the damage that they can cause to, say, landscaping, Jeff, that you've meticulously worked on for weeks or months?
Well, you know, like last night, depends obviously where you live, you know, like Glenn and I were talking, you know, boy, hail can really create some problems, you know. I mean, on trees, I've seen it where it's bad enough that it actually damages the bark on the twigs and things, as well as if Glenn and I were talking earlier, if all the trees were fully leafed out, we'd have a real mess right now, you know, when it knocks all the leaves off the trees and things. So hail's certainly one big problem. And, of course, wind, you know, is another. Where I live out in West County, we didn't – I mean, all I see out there or this morning was just some medium-sized twigs, branches, you know, that kind of thing. Nothing really substantial, but I'm sure there's significant tree damage, you know, in different areas throughout the metro area.
On the lawn side, I'm concerned that maybe some of the hail was heavy enough and big enough to actually break the pre-emergent barrier that might have been in the soil. That would be drastic, but you know, where I lived, I had a lot of hail, but it was small. But I had heard reports of larger hail in other communities.
Yeah, there was definitely some large hail. I was in my car when it was hitting. It sounded like we were being pelted by meteors.
Yeah.
So it was pretty bad.
So that's another reason to be safe with your pre-emergent. I'm a proponent that you should mow your lawn at least once or twice before you put out your first application of pre-emergent. But that's more of personal advice than makes sense for landscapers.
Well, explain what pre-emergent is and how it works.
Yeah, most of the time pre-emergents are applied to a fertilizer, and then a company or individuals buy the product and spread it. And then as it gets watered in, the active ingredient comes off of the fertilizer pellet or the carrier and then makes a barrier right at the soil level that prevents the crabgrass from emerging. So it doesn't stop it from germinating. It stops it from emerging. So the crabgrass seeds are in the soil right now at some depth, and your pre-emergent barrier is right at soil level. And as the crabgrass grows, it grows into the barrier and dies before we see it, hence the name pre-emergent. We don't see it emerge. And so that barrier has to last during the whole season of germination, which is basically from now through the end of June, early July maybe. And so yeah, you just apply that pre-emergent so that we don't see the crabgrass and other broadleaf weeds that might grow during the season.
But to Glenn's point, the heavy rain can break the barrier and dilute, wash it away kind of thing. And then just like mowing the lawn when it's really wet, you know, is not good. That can break the barrier as well. Over trimming, you know, the edges along walkways and driveways and curbs, you know, that's another way. That's another reason people still get crabgrass if they
the soil cracks and breaks the barrier along the hot spots along the street and curbs. We call that little area between the street and the sidewalk the devil strip. That's where you get most of your broadleaf weeds and crabgrass issues. Yeah. It's very common.
And when does everybody want to get their pre-emergent down by, Glenn?
Well, some guys have already started and it's okay. You know, there's only so much labor around, and so it's okay to have made an application now. And thicker lawns have less pressure, and thinner lawns or new lawns have way more pressure. And so, again, it's like buying the best grass seed. The best pre-emergent isn't necessarily the best. It depends on reading the label and make sure you have the parts per million correct and making sure that you might need a follow-up application if Mother Nature does some weird stuff like she did last night.
She is doing a lot of weird stuff, you know. I mean, I do feel like, you know, with climate change and all that, there is maybe the extremes are the range of extremes has become wider. And so you never know what you're going to get with a storm like last night. It was pretty intense.
Right.
It was. It was
very peculiar.
So is there anything you can do ahead of time? Obviously, you have to respect Mother Nature and you can't do that much about what she has in store for us. But is there anything you can do? Let's say you did a landscaping project through Horseman Brothers before a storm comes, or, you know, during this season where tornado activity is high. Is there anything you can do to maybe protect your new landscaping or lawn?
Well, I don't know about the tornado part.
that's obviously.
Scott, sure, you know, if you put out some annual flowers and they're calling for a torrential rain or so, you know, if you could build some kind of protection over the top of them or something, that would be great. You know, most people, frankly, aren't going to do that, you know, but there, sure, there are things you can do. You know, wind is tough. You know, you can only do so much to protect, you know, the trees and things from wind damage.
I don't think there's a lot you can do before, but afterwards, corrective pruning, making sure that any limb that's snapped in half or has some damage, to get rid of that will make the rest of the plant a whole lot healthier.
Interesting.
Particularly on your hardwoods or your ornamentals. Hmm. Those are the most expensive plants to buy, so you ought to make sure your corrective pruning afterwards is really an investment in further enjoying those plants down the road.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about when you have invested money and time into these projects. You don't want one night of storms to wipe out the whole thing, so that's good. Good advice. All right, let's get back to the phones. 314-436-7900 is the number. Jack, you're up next. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Jack.
I have an area that's about, 20 feet by 85 that had myrtle on it, or some kind of ivy. I've taken that out, gotten it down to bare dirt, and I'm looking for a grass seed that I could use. Somebody suggested clover, and I'm not sure about that, but anyway, it's a shaded area. Any suggestions, please?
Well, clover is an option. Clover will not take any traffic whatsoever, so if you have kids or dogs, don't have high expectations for that to be successful. And clover would definitely be more beneficial in the sun than the shade. If you do a shade mix or any spring seeding, those are usually not as successful as fall seedings. But I would just use a good shade mix if you want a traditional cool season grass, or if you want clover, you could try clover, but probably be expecting to do that for 2, maybe 3 years in a row before you have good success. We talked about that mowing height. Anything you plant in the shade will not tolerate short mowings or even frequent mowings. My experience of shade grasses in St. Louis are you probably mow those once or twice in the months of July and August because they're just not growing as much. And if it's shade from trees, the trees are getting the predominant amount of moisture, not the grass seed roots, because they're not as aggressive or have as much osmotic pressure to absorb moisture as the tree roots do. So shade growing grass, whether it's clover or cool season grass, can be tricky. And just be ready to do the same thing for 2 or 3 years in a row to really expect good results. Okay?
Should you spread straw over the seeded area?
I'm not a proponent of straw at all. When I jokingly tell people in my class, when you see a sign that says clean straw, that's more the interpretation of the sign artist than a fact of life. So clean straw is kind of an oxymoron. I mean, there's a product called Penn Mulch that is guaranteed to do the same thing, to keep in moisture and let people know there's something under construction, but not add weed seeds. But if you have good seed-to-soil contact, unless it's very slopey, you usually don't need straw, in my opinion. I'm very conservative when it comes to recommendation of straw. I'm pretty much anti-straw as often as possible.
All right. So basically just a good grade of shaded seed or whatever.
Yeah, correct. And if you can see the seed, the birds can see it. So make sure that it's covered up and has, like I say, good seed-to-soil contact. It doesn't need sunlight to germinate. It's just soil temperature and moisture. So make sure it's covered up and you'll have a better return on your investment.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for the phone call, Jack. Good question. 314-436-7900 is the number for you to call to get in with your question for Jeff and Glenn. Glenn, just to follow up there on what you were saying, can you talk a little bit more about that?
With the straw in the seeding?
The question I had was, what's wrong with straw?
Yeah, so straw generally brings in more weed seeds than it does good. So the idea of straw is to let people know there's something under construction, try to maintain a moisture barrier so that you get good germination. But in the end, it's a very inexpensive way to somewhat control erosion and bring in moisture. But the weed seed content is something that you can't predict. And I've seen horrific amounts of weed seeds. You end up with more weeds than you do grass because it brings in so many weeds. And so the same thing can be true with topsoil. So unfortunately, grass seeds sometimes get a bad rap. I've been accused of selling some grass seed that has a lot of weed seeds until we did an investigation, and my customer said it was only around the edges, and it coincided with where he put in fresh topsoil and straw. So the chance of weed seeds coming in from a product that's labeled without weed seeds versus a product that is grown in nature.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The straw. Yet you end up bringing in a whole bunch of junk, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, that's good information. All right, let's continue with the phone calls after a short break. The number for you to get in is 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Good Saturday morning to you. I'm Scott Jagow, along with Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers, also Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson. We're talking all kinds of stuff. We've been talking about the storm damage overnight. Obviously, the sun's out now. People can see a little better. And there is some significant damage throughout the area, maybe as many as 6 tornadoes touching down. And people are asked to call 211 if you do have damage to report, because crews will be going out tomorrow and throughout the week to assess and gather information about the damage that has occurred, but they need to know where to go. And the county folks were just doing a live press conference, which I was watching a little bit of, and they were saying, you know, call the 211 number to report, and if you do have damage, just don't touch anything when it comes to down trees and power lines. That is extremely dangerous, as I'm sure you are well aware. We will keep you updated on the aftermath of this storm as we get more information throughout the day here on KMOX. Guys, this is the first week of spring coming up. Mm-hmm. So what are some things people should be thinking about?
In terms of turf, and we've kind of covered that, it's, if you need to put down your crabgrass pre-emergent and fertilizer and deal with weeds, and if you got to do some seeding, you better do that fairly soon too. And anyway, so grass, we've kind of hit on the landscape side of things. I mean, there's a lot to do, probably more to do today than there was yesterday because of all the just cleanup that needs to happen. But you know, we've got cleanup going on. We need it's getting time to start mulching things, really. Think about weed control in your beds. Mulch and pre-emergence in the beds is awesome way to help make the season go smoothly, you know, so you don't have a lot of time weeding things. time to start thinking about your planting of your seasonal color, as well as, obviously trees and shrubs. It's a great time, spring, to plant if we can get things in. And before it gets too hot, they really do seem to have a advantage, versus doing it when it's really, really hot.
Yeah, so. Don't forget to tune up those lawnmowers, too. They're going to be needed here very shortly, for sure.
I think that's amazing how much greener things got. I noticed just since, really since even the weekend, just last few days. I mean, it really greened up. And we needed that rain yesterday. I mean, I know some people got too much, but, boy, I was out and about on some appointments, yesterday, and with the wind and everything, I was just amazed how dry it was starting to get.
Sure was.
Yeah. So, spring is certainly a very, very busy time in terms of the garden. And same thing if you're, I'm not an expert on, farming, but if you're going to, plant some crops, some garden vegetables and things, I'm sure it's time to get that stuff going as well. So lot to do.
Mm. Also to remember, these warm temperatures are kind of, they're not normal. They're unique. And cool temperatures can strike fast. So don't pull the trigger too quickly on some of the outdoor stuff that won't tolerate a 32-degree night.
Yeah, and we're going to have a couple.
With the annual flowers, we don't want to plant those now. In fact, you really want to think about the very end of April and May, is when you really plant those, but certainly getting ready to plant them and get the areas prepared and so forth, that would be something to start doing.
What's the reason for doing the mulching right now?
Lots of reasons. We mulch for aesthetics, obviously. People like the way it looks. We mulch for, as I mentioned, weed control is a key component. And we don't want to put too much, but a nice layer of 2 to 3 inches of mulch really does help reduce the weed situation. And moisture retention is, the other one. So, it really regulation or it keeps it evened out, so that the beds don't dry out quite as quick and it just regulates the amount of moisture that's around the plants. So it's nice for the plants. And, even in the fall, it can help protect the plants over the winter time as well. So those are all good reasons to be mulching. But be aware, like I said, mulch should be 2 to 3 inches thick at the most. We don't want 6 inches of mulch in our beds,
And you don't want to mulch up along the edges of the trees.
Be careful mulching trees. Do not get the mulch up on the trunk of the tree.
And what's the reason for that?
It creates an environment where insects, can get in and they start to damage the bark, around the bottom of the tree. So as a rule, you want to kind of keep it mulch off where the trunk starts and the roots meet, if you can kind of keep it off of that level there, you'll be hit a home run.
We tell people to mulch like a bagel, not like a muffin or a volcano. You don't want it up on the side of the tree coming down. There should be a an area between the mulch and the base of the tree.
You're pretty sophisticated there. We call those donut holes, yeah. Glenn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to get with the times, mulch, Jeff.
Mulch like a bagel. My dad told me yesterday that he laid down 56 bags of mulch for the garden.
Holy cow.
And then my grandmother, who will in 3 weeks be 101 years old.
Congratulations.
Amazing. Wow. Awesome. She's like, yeah, she lives in Niagara Falls, New York, and he's going up there next month, and she's like, bring me some of that mulch, because it's amazing at her age, she still has incredible gardens around her house and flowers that she takes care of.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what keeps her young.
It is one of the things that keeps her young, and she still shovels
snow.
Which, yeah, it's true. It is absolutely true. I cannot believe it. She is a marvel.
And Niagara Falls is awesome. I've been there in the summer, and I've been there in the winter, and it is two seasons up there for sure.
But they get a little bit of snow every once in a while.
You bet.
Hopefully, we are done with the snow for this season. Although I have seen, I'm not going to promise that because it's only the Ides of March. We've had snow in April.
Sure. You know?
Not that uncommon, really.
I've seen a morning snow on tulips and daffodils and then gone by noon. And
sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again this year.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we get below freezing temperatures certain nights over the next 3 or 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of normal. Yeah,
it's almost guaranteed for at least 4 or 5 hours. Sure.
Okay. Well, what is your question for Glenn? And for Jeff, it is 314-436-7900. That is the number to call to ask what you'd like to know. And we will continue with your phone calls in just a minute. It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Thanks for tuning in. We are at your service. Have been so, this program, for more than 3 decades. So we're here to answer your questions. And the number for you to call in with yours as we hit spring this week is 314-436-7900. Our guests today are Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson. He is an expert in seeds, among other things, and landscaping. Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers. So whatever your topic is, whether it's plants, whether it's mulching trees, your garden, your front yard, your backyard, whatever it is, 314-436-7900 is the number to get in and have your question answered. Gentlemen, what else do we need to be thinking about right now?
You know, I've been thinking about making a recommendation that if you want to have a successful garden, having a written history, some type of journal of what you've done or what you have had done or what you plan to do is really important. I can't tell you how many times people ask for me advice in June, and I'll say, well, what have you done this spring? And you know, they get that blind, that distant stare, and they can't remember. But if you write down what you've done, and particularly with like landscape designs, you don't have to guess what you did anymore. So it's a good idea not to make mistakes going forward.
Huh. You
know? Sure.
I like that. So like a gardening journal or diary of sorts.
It doesn't have to be elaborate, just simple notes. You know, I find
deep thoughts.
There you go. Yeah. And it just it takes the guesswork out of it, right?
Sure. Well, like everything, start with a good plan. You know, that's the name of the game. And certainly it for us anyway at Horstman, and it's very busy. And you know, it is a lot of landscape design going on, and you know, a lot of people inquiring about that. And so it's time, as we say, to roll. You know, it's here. You know, we had winter this year, and it broke, and
we did. We had winter.
Yeah, we did. We had a
very unusual.
Yeah, exactly.
January was something.
So we're
that's true.
We had the big thaw, and we survived a storm. Most people, except for five, right last night, survived a storm. So time to roll.
Yeah. Winter with a capital W is what you're talking about. You know, not just the fact that we had the season. It's that it was, you know, pretty impactful in terms of the temperatures, primarily.
And that's the longevity of the temperatures too. It wasn't just a day or two. That was a solid week where I don't think it got above 35 for a week.
Glenn, have you noticed any talking about turf, any damage from the ice being on the lawns for 3 weeks or whatever? Or
you know, we talked about that one time back in January, and What I've always liked is if you get snow cover and then freezing temperatures, the snow cover actually prevents the soil from getting any colder. Whatever the temperature your soil is, once you get 2 to 3 inches or even an inch of snow, the soil temperature generally doesn't drop very far. It's when you have no snow cover and those freezing temperatures. So what I've noticed just since I got back in town yesterday was how green the grass is around the edges, because these 80-degree temperatures are warming up the concrete and the asphalt and causing the weeds and the grass to grow along the edges.
Have you had any weird fungal diseases, snow molds or anything like that?
I don't think we'll see those for another week or two, tell you the truth. We haven't had the right moisture level and longevity yet of some temperatures for that to pop up yet. Fairy ring and snow mold. Haven't heard a report.
I haven't had any, but or seen any or heard anything really.
My son's involved with golf courses more. He might get a report from that. You might see some of that on the bent grass greens here in the next week or so. But most of the time, that's short-lived.
Yeah, and why over the next week or so? What's the period that?
Yeah, you get some moisture. You get longevity of the days. The soil temperature warms up, and the activity that incubates the spores all come together.
All right, let's get back to the phones. The number is 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Harry. Good morning, Harry. You're on Camo X, Harry. Go ahead.
Hey, my zinnia seeds. How soon can I, and I'm sorry, I'm walking the dog in the wind. How soon can I plant my zinnia seeds?
I mean, if you're going to direct sow and you're not starting them in any trays or keeping them indoors, I think I'd wait. I'd probably wait at least till mid-April, because like we were saying earlier, if we get warm days and you water them and, before you know it, they're sprouting, but then we could definitely have a cold snap, So I would probably wait till mid-April at least, my opinion.
Yeah, because that'll be a full sun seed, that's for sure, right?
Yeah. All right, let's continue with the phone calls. Phyllis, you're up next on KMOX Garden Hotline. Hello, Phyllis. You there?
Hello.
Yep, you're on the air.
I'm wondering if you believe in dethatching the lawn, and if so, what time of the year do you do it?
I believe in dethatching, and thatch is undecomposed roots and shoots. A lot of people think it's grass clippings or a bunch of leaves, and there's nothing further from the truth. So it'll look like a sponge almost between the soil and the top of the grass plant. So you could do a cool season dethatching. Heck, you could do it this week. It's all soil temperature related. If it's a warm season grass like Zoysia Bermuda, in a home lawn situation, I wouldn't recommend that before about April 15th or so.
It's a cool season lawn.
Yeah. If you can get it done this coming week, you'd be okay. Sure. Yeah. You'll be okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck, Phyllis.
Thanks for calling in, Phyllis. Up next, we have Dixie. Dixie, good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn.
Good morning. I've got a question about pruning my Weigelia. I've got a plant that's 8 years old, and I've never pruned it. So how far back should I do that? And some of the rods are very big, like an inch and a half.
Okay, Dixie, general rule of thumb, you can safely trim back about a third. You could even probably get a little bit more aggressive with that. You're saying about if on a Weigelia, that inch and a half stem, that's pretty, I've ever seen that, but anyway, like most deciduous shrubs, Weigelia is going to do well with newer shoots. We always want to keep new shoots growing. So sometimes we want to actually thin out some of the older canes or older branches, to let the new ones come on and develop. And you'll get, as time goes on, you'll get better flowering if they're not really, really old canes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's going to take a lot of cutting back for these. They're like 5 foot.
If you do it now, you may not get a lot of bloom this year, you know, that would be the, you know, you could actually let it go till it's done blooming and then, you know, prune it. That's like a totally safe, you know, kind of recommendation for flowering shrubs is to wait till they're done blooming. If you're worried about the bloom, you know.
Yeah, if it were yours, what would you do?
I mean, is it normally a good bloomer? Does it?
Yes.
Yeah. Normally. Well, I'd probably let it go and enjoy it this year, and then prune it back, and let it start growing some new growth for next year. Is what I would do.
I would do. Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck, Dixie.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Dixie. 314-436-7900 is the number. We'll try to squeeze in one more call before the top of the hour. Sandy, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Thank you for taking my call. Are you there?
Yeah,
good morning, Sandy.
Morning.
Okay. I have a weird situation. I had an armadillo tear up an area of my lawn about 30 feet long, 15 feet wide. I don't know if I should rent a roller item on the back of my lawnmower and try and press that all down after I rake it out. It just tore up the yard really bad. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I would. That doesn't sound. It sounds like too small of an area to recommend a roller. I think you could do most of that by hand pretty easily. You know, so armadillos, okay, were looking for some type of worms or insects. A lot of people think it'd be guaranteed grubs, and it might have been grubs, but you might just be cursed with good soil and have a lot of earthworms. So
well,
don't worry
I'm
about putting
really,
on.
I'm cursed really bad with I don't know what you call those things, moles.
Yeah, so moles are just like armadillos. They're eating meat. They're wanting insects.
Yep.
So I would just smooth everything down and step it down and seed it if you need to, or seed it in the fall. But we can't control armadillos or moles, that's for sure.
Well, we're going to talk more about that.
Yeah.
The other side of the break. Sandy, thank you for calling in. It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX. It's the Garden Hotline. My advice to you this almost spring morning is to jump onto the phones and ask your question. 314-436-7900. Our guests today, they are veterans of the show. They have a lot of experience, and they can cover just about any topic you might want to know about. That is Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson Seeds, and also in the landscaping area, Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers. Gentlemen, glad to have you back.
Thanks, Scott. Great to be here.
It's awesome.
And we've been talking in the first hour about the storms last night and the severe winds and the heavy rains and how that might affect your lawn, and you know, so let's recap a little bit before we get back to the phones. Glenn, you were saying a few things last hour about some of the damage that might be done and how you can kind of quickly maybe fix it.
Yeah, especially with the application of pre-emergent. Sometimes the hail can be so severe that it actually breaks the pre-emergent barrier, and so it would be unlikely. It's possible, but unlikely. And so you just have to be cautious. Go out and look at your lawn and see if you see indentations more than a half inch deep. And if you do, and you already had your pre-emergent applied, you probably want to make a second application in another week or so. Earlier caller talked about the power raking, and I wanted to reiterate that if you do a power raking on a cool season lawn, you should wait to put on your pre-emergent for at least another week or 10 days. You want those scars that the power rake creates from the removal of the thatch and the soil to heal over so that the lawn is smooth before you put on your pre-emergent.
Anything from you, Jeff, on that?
We talked earlier, you know, with the wind and hail, you know, you might have some correctable tree damage, meaning not big branches that are down, but just twigs and things. And like Glenn was saying, if you got branches that are kind of dangling or halfway off, go ahead and cut them off with nice, clean, horticulturally correct pruning, you know, would be good. That's important. That and just, you know, general cleanup, you know, if you got a lot of stuff on the lawn or in the beds, you gotta deal with it and get it cleaned up.
All right, let's go back to the phones. The number to call to ask your question is 314-436-7900. Up next, we say hello to Ryan. Good morning, Ryan. You there, Ryan? Are you there?
Hey, Ryan. If you're talking to me, it's Brian.
Brian.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Hello. We're talking to you.
Okay. Well, it's Brian with a B, but that's all right.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I've got a question that's related to what you were talking about with the mulch around the trees. For years, I did that, and I got tired of replacing it every year, so I just decided I'm going with rock. Does the same thing apply with rock, that you need to have a donut hole around the tree?
Hey, Brian, good question. You know, in general, I would even keep, stone or gravel off the trunk of the tree itself, you know, just because we just want that bark on the trunk of the tree to be open to the air and sunlight and everything that it should have. So the main objective there is just not to put anything up on the trunk of the tree itself. You know, that bark needs to be free and clean and open and so it can grow and expand and do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, bark is a function of the tree. It protects the tree. So right. We don't want to do anything to ever harm that in any way.
Bark's important.
Bark is important.
Okay. That,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I
will tell you, Brian, you know, the putting a gravel or a rock around a tree, I'm not sure what real benefit, it's not going to help the tree much at all. I'd even be more, are these bigger trees or newly planted or what do you got?
No, they're very established. The tree in the front yard's a pen oak and the tree in the backyard's a tulip tree.
Okay.
So they're very tall, very, very established trees.
All right. And they're limbed up. Are they high limbs so they get plenty of sunlight down around the base of the tree?
Yeah, my house faces north, so the pin oak gets more sun than the backyard tree. Right. But, the year, they get plenty of sun.
Yeah, if it's a, bigger tree and it's higher limbs up, you might be able to just keep your grass, up fairly close to the tree. Same thing, we don't want to be weed eating, using a weed eater on the trunk, but you might be able to just grass it, It looks nice, too.
Yeah, Well, I'm fairly pleased with my rocks around the tree circles, but I'll just make sure I pull some of the rock away from the base of the tree because right now I know I've got it up right up to the base.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
I'll just pull some of that away. Yeah,
that'd be good.
So just got to tell you, I'm driving in from Kansas City. I started out this morning listening to the Toby Tobin Show, which is a show just like yours. And then I flipped over to KMOX and picked up you guys. So I'm getting a lot of good education on lawn care and gardening and on my drive in. It's wonderful.
Well, that's why we're here, Brian. Thanks for calling in.
Stay safe out there.
Yeah, the number to call to ask your question of Jeff and Glenn is 314-436-7900. We're going to go back to the phones in just a moment. So stay with us. It's the Garden Hotline. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, joined this week by Jeff and Glenn. They've been here before. You know them. They have a vast range of knowledge to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. Let's continue with the phone calls. Susie, you're up next.
Good morning. Hi. The good news is my yard is getting aerated. The bad news is it's because of moles and or voles or something. So what are your recommendations? And this is because my neighbor did substantial yard changing their yard, and I think they moved.
Yeah, vibrations in the soil will definitely make moles move, Susie. Voles won't usually aerate the yard like moles do. The biggest difference is their size and their habitat. So voles are more like mice, and they are eating vegetables, not insects, whereas moles are much larger, and they are searching for earthworms and grubs and things. They're carnivorous. They eat meat. So like the earlier caller talked about an armadillo, the best way to control moles, voles, and armadillos is with traps. Professionals who do that all the time can usually clean up those yards pretty quickly. my biggest pet peeve in this industry is when people claim to use mole control or grub controls as mole controls. That's not what happens. 99% of the time, moles are eating worms, and the insecticides don't kill worms unless they're restricted use, and nobody wants to do that. That's not environmentally friendly. So just hire a professional, and like you said, when neighbors do a room addition or add a pool, you can get moles when you've never had moles before because they hate the vibrations in the soil.
Great explanation. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. That's a good question. And we did hear about armadillos in the last hour. Moles and voles, we've had quite a few questions over the last few months about them.
You bet.
I try to like all creatures, but I cannot stand either one of those.
No.
Armadillos, I don't have a relationship with. So I don't know. I don't have an opinion about armadillos. They look pretty cool.
Yeah.
But are they as much of a pain in the butt as moles and voles?
I don't equate them as bigger pain. I think they're more, bigger pain to your car. If you try to run over an armadillo and it jumps up and takes out your radiator, but no, in your yard, I don't equate them.
Because they're above ground as opposed to subterranean. Yeah,
and certainly if you know, armadillos are fairly common in certain areas. You know, I haven't seen them really, you know, throughout the whole metroplex. They seem really common out. Kind of like West County's just loaded with them, you know. I always call 141 the Armadillo Highway. You know, it's just
really
littered with them.
44.
You know, I was going to say that, but if you do have them, they are very destructive. I mean, they can tear up a nice lawn very easily, and you know they're horrible on a golf course, just like skunks or raccoons or anything else. If they're tearing up putting greens and things like that, armadillos really weren't meant to be here. You know, they've moved up with the change in the weather, and I don't view it as a welcomed visitor, you know. I just kind of wish they weren't even around here.
Very little benefit.
They're not welcome. Go very back to the benefit. South. Okay. Up next, Don, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I got a problem. I got a 2-year-old lawn is all it is, and it was all clay. It was a new built home. Everybody fights the same problem. And I've got a lot of weeds. I've got crabgrass. I've got these little little trees with purple flowers on them coming up. And then I planted 125 pounds of seed in the last 2 years, and I got a moderate-type growth out of that seed. So every year I fight the same question. Do I fight all the weeds and hope that the grass will continue to grow and it doesn't crowd it out? Or do I go ahead and throw grass seed this year and then throw maybe a little starter fertilizer all over it? And then spot spray the weeds. I just don't know what to do anymore. I'm kind of losing the battle.
Well, you know, hey, based on what you're describing, I would suggest you do a good job this year fighting the weeds, and that might even involve calling a professional service to help you with that. Okay, but I think my game plan would be I'm going to win the battle on the weeds, you know, this year, even though you might have some bare areas or you know, problem areas, and then looking to get really cleaned up by late August, and then do a thorough aeration and seeding in early September with a dose of fertilizer at that time, and then feed it a couple more times this fall, and you'll probably have a really nice yard next year.
You could also, if you have a 2-year-old yard, you might consider doing a soil sample. Sometimes it could be something as simple as a $40 soil test that makes you aware of a pH correction or a nutrient deficiency that you have no way of knowing that it's there by looking at your lawn. It's impossible. You have to do a soil test to make accurate applications, in my opinion.
And where would I take that soil test?
The Botanical Garden does them. The Extension Service does them. The key is to take about 30 plugs that are 1 inch square, 4 inches deep from all various spots in your yard, and you combine those and bring them your soil, and they'll submit it to a lab, and they'll give you a good report and hopefully some good recommendations on how to make any modifications that need to be made.
Well, I'll do that. And just one other question. What if I took my front yard and I just had somebody come out and lay zoysia in the entire front yard only? Would you think that might be an answer, at least to the front?
You'd have to have full sun, and you wouldn't even think about that before about May 1st to 15th, if you're lucky.
And a healthy checkbook, Glenn.
Yeah, and be prepared to write a healthy check. Right? Yeah, that would be quite scary, depending on how many square feet you have. So it's length times width.
Right.
You might want to get a quote on that before you make any plans, but you wouldn't even think about that before May 1st to 15th in St. Louis.
Yeah. Well, a couple of my other yards in the homes that I had built were zoysia, but unfortunately, ever since then, I've had this... I threw Champion down this last year, Champion grass seed, and I was told it was the best, but I didn't really get a lot of growth. I was surprised that I didn't get any more than I got.
You might have missed the first hour, but yeah, buying the best grass seed is no guarantee. You have to have a lot of things. You have to connect the dots and build the whole puzzle. You can't just start with the pieces. You know, you need the cover to make sure you know how to go forward, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Well,
I
appreciate it.
Do you have a sprinkler system as well? That's something you
know. No, and my builder where I am, he told everybody that we have low pressure water in our subdivision, and we probably always will have, he said. So he said, with that being said, don't put in, you know, anything like that, because we don't have enough water spread.
You can get a booster pump and correct that real easily. That's bad information.
Booster pump.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to look into a booster pump today, because that is a problem for us.
Thank you.
You've been very helpful. Yeah. Very helpful. Thank you.
That's what these guys are here for, to be helpful and answer your questions at 314-436-7900. Let's continue with the phone call. Steve, you're up next. Good morning, Steve. I don't hear Steve. No?
Oh, come on, Steve.
Get to the phone, Steve. Okay. Well, you know what? We'll take a break, and we'll pick up with Marianne right after the break, so stay tuned. And if you have a question, 314-436-7900, get your question in. We're getting into the last half hour of the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. All right, it is 9:33. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. We've got a couple of sharp-dressed men in the room right here. Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers.
You got it.
Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson. And on the phone right now, we have Marianne. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I live in a cul-de-sac, and in the circle is, you know, there's a landscape in the circle which has a lot of decorative river rock. And normally, last year I put preen down, especially in the rock area where I seem to have a lot of weeds, but I did not do it in the fall. Now I have a lot of henbit coming up. It's not blooming yet, and so yesterday I put preen all over it to kind of prevent any seeds from dropping. Do I still need to go and pull all those up or put down vegetation killer, or will they kind of not go to seed and I can be rid of the problem?
Hey, Marianne, the safest thing to do would be to go, you know, it's great that you put the preen down, but go ahead and spray it, you know, kill it, you know, and it will look better too.
What that is a winter annual, Marianne, and the most effective application really would be about November 1st, maybe October 15th, because those seeds germinated over the winter, both those chickweed and henbit are both winter annuals that we see. So your best application for the future really would be late October, early November, and you won't see those in months like March or April.
All right. I just didn't want to have to go out. There's a lot of them out there, and I didn't want to have to do that.
It's all about the timing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck, Marianne.
Thanks for calling in, Marianne. It's 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline for you to reach Jeff and Glenn with your question. Carol, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for doing the show. I listen to you every Saturday morning.
Thank you.
I
am going to get a ginkgo tree, male ginkgo tree, planted in my backyard. Contracted with someone this past fall, and they were going to do it like over the winter. Is it too late to plant one of those in the season?
No, not at all. Great time. Sooner they can do it, probably the better, you know. But even later in the spring, it'll be all right. It's just
okay.
You know, I'm sure they're like a lot of landscapers. They were hoping to do it in the winter because it would have been a good time to plant it, but they also just want to keep working, you know, and the way the winters have been recently, you know, we were like last year, we were landscaping in February, you know, and this year we weren't. So it's just a difference of a year. And we had a more substantial winter this year. So, but anyway, the tree will be fine. Go ahead and have them plant it.
I wonder what the cost difference.
Okay.
I wonder what the cost difference.
I appreciate your guys' info. I wonder what the
cost difference is between a male and a female ginkgo. You think they can give away female ginkgos? You don't want a female ginkgo.
Yeah. You don't want a female ginkgo.
No. No.
There are lots of comments running through my head right now.
Yeah. I don't think they're technically supposed to sell them, you know.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
What's the problem?
The fruit, you know, the females make the fruit and they you know, it's a real mess, and they have a very bad odor.
If you have dogs or kids, they walk them, they bring that inside. You'll remember it very distinctly.
It's not going to go to any length
to get rid of that.
Yeah, it's bad.
But not all trees have separate male and female trees,
no.
do they?
No. Yeah. You know, there's some trees are dioecious, meaning they have, you know.
That is the 10-cent word of the day. Dioecious.
Can you spell that, Jeff?
Yeah, let's see if you can spell it, because I have it right in front of me.
D-I-E-O. Yeah, no.
Nope.
No, there's, you know, monoecious or dioecious, and, you know, but but in the case of the ginkgo, you really do not want the female of the species. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah. They're pretty big trees, right?
Oh, yeah.
It depends, though. There's a lot of, and I guess I should be more of an expert on ginkgos because they're great trees. I have one in my yard, but they there are some new cultivars that are more of the dwarf types. So they're kind of getting really popular for a lot of different design applications, and some are more custom to plant close to structures and so forth. So they got a real diverse usage. But, you know, throughout St. Louis, there's some magnificent old ginkgos that were planted, I guess, you know, back at the World's Fair time or something. And, you know, they're historic trees. But unfortunately, some of those are females. You know, it's a mess.
D-I-O-E-C-I-O-U-S. Dioecious.
Congratulations.
All right, up next, let's go to Lisa. Lisa, you're on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I did not call about ginkgo trees, but we had a female ginkgo tree, and I think I'm allowed to say this on the radio. My kids called them ginkgo farts. That's what the berries smelled like. Our neighbors hated them. Anyway, I didn't call about that. The reason I called is I have a perennial bed, and I want to put a pre-emergent down on top of the stuff on top, on the dirt and the area around it. Can I do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And go ahead.
If you have hostas emerging, though, you want to make sure you don't ever get a pre-emergent down into the stem or the growth of the hostas, because that'll burn your hosta plant. Same with
tulips. And I don't have any on that bed. Okay.
Yeah, anything that's coming out of the ground, it has like a corkscrew type effect. Make sure you don't get any pre-emergent down inside those growing plants. I'd do that soon.
Okay.
Good advice.
Okay. Do it soon. Yeah. So then I also have, last week on the radio, I heard the other person was doing your guys' job talking about you could put pre-emergent down and you could put grass seed down, but I don't remember the order of it.
Yeah, there's only one pre-emergent that I know of that you can put down, and that we talked about that earlier, called Meso or Mesotrione, M-E-S-O.
Oh,
I can spell M-E-S-O, by the way.
Good.
I don't need any help on that, but that's the only pre-emergent, and only lasts 30 days. So, like with all chemicals, the devil's in the details. Make sure you read your label, because if you do one application of Meso, that won't last all season long. You you'll have to do a follow-up application of another miso or something else to get through the whole pre-emergent crabgrass season.
Okay, because part of the problem is that this is on a fence line, and that's always kind of tricky with your neighbors because you don't want to be killing stuff in their yard and all that. So, okay.
If you apply a pre-emergent properly, it doesn't move very far. You would have to try to do something detrimental to your neighbor's fence line. But
okay.
If it's sunny, just wait till the fall and do it. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, procrastination works too. So good. Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in. 314-436-7900 is the number. That is the Garden Hotline. Miso, man. Now I want Japanese food. Steve, you're up next.
Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good morning, Steve.
Hey, I'm trying to, this is my first year trying this. I'm growing my own tomato plants from seeds, and I bought all the stuff and planted them, and I haven't got nothing. And today's been 7 days, and I looked it up, and it said between 5 and 7 days. I got, you know, like a grow light, 4-foot grow light, I don't know. I just haven't had nothing. And I water it, and nothing's happening. So I don't know what I did wrong, if I should have bought one of those heat mats or whatever, but and it's too late for me to retry it.
No.
I really don't think it would be too late, but I would also tell you, if it said 5 to 7 days, I patience is sometimes a virtue, you know, or usually is a virtue, right? So anyway, I would give it a little more time, Steve.
Yeah, Steve, if you see patience in a jug, please let me know where you bought it, because I would like to buy some myself. So.
Right. But, I mean, you know, was I supposed to put them seeds in water first and leave them overnight or anything like that? I mean, it just said put it in there in water, you know, and got that vermiculite seed starting stuff and all that. And
I would think if you followed the directions and as long as you kept it moist and, you know, it could be a temperature thing. It's just it hadn't really gotten, even inside. If it's not getting enough sun, maybe in the window or whatever, you know, you might just need a little bit more time. I think I'd give it a few more days anyway. You know? But I'm sure you can replant it. That wouldn't be.
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere. They're just waiting for the right environment. Steve, just keep them watered, and I think you'll be fine in another 4 or 5 days.
Oh, good deal. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Steve. We are getting to the last segment of our 2-hour program on KMOX. The number to call if you want to get in at the last minute here, 314-436-7900. If you have something on your mind you want to ask Jeff and Glenn, we're going to get to those phone calls right after the latest break. Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers. Also, Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson Seeds. They are our guests today, answering your questions at 314-436-7900. It is last chance time, so if you have a question, go ahead and jump on the phone now, because we only have a few minutes left, and we will be getting out and heading to our next program on KMOX. Don't forget, though, today we do have the Cardinals at 11:55 pregame. They are playing the Blue Jays Grapefruit League. Guys, by the way, are you Cardinals fans?
Sure. I mean, I like them. I'm absolutely. I don't live and die by it. But
no?
No.
What do you think about this season? What are your expectations?
Long pause there, wasn't
pretty
there?
Pretty shaky right now. Yeah, I don't have high expectations for them this year.
No?
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Well, based on some information that I have, I would say I think they might be better than people are expecting.
I agree.
They have a lot of good young players. If the pitching comes through, then I do think that the bats will be there. And, yes, I like a lot of their young players. They could have a really nice lineup, and I would tend to be optimistic, but the last couple of seasons have been tough for Cards fans, so you can understand why people are hesitant. But
Well, I think I just hope they're good for lots of – I mean, I like to go. I like the entertainment value. I think it's great. And it's great for the region when they're doing well, because it's good when people are filling up Bush Stadium, sure. So
anyway, I don't suppose you plant the grass at Bush Stadium, do you?
No, but my son is actually on the grounds crew there, and
we
sell quite a bit of product to them. We just sold them some ryegrass, and I think they put out some ryegrass recently in anticipation of the first game. So, growing up, I would tell my kids all the time, if the worst can happen, why can't the best? So I'm optimistic for the Cardinals that I think they'll surprise some people, and all it takes is a couple of those young guys to get some confidence and go on a 30-40-day run of swinging the bats, at 300 or above, and all of a sudden the pitching says, hey, I got support with the bats. I might as well, I'm going to throw my best game. So they're either going to, win about 85 or 90 games, or they're going to lose 110. They're going to be somewhere in between.
Well, I do want to keep this as a garden show, not the Cardinals hotline, but I do love walking in the outfield grass at a Major League Baseball stadium. Yeah. Or a soccer pitch where it's the grass is so perfectly cut and at the right height. I know you guys are all about the height.
Yep.
It's
night and day difference out there. I have tons of people that they say, I want grass like Busch Stadium. I say, well, you have to have a budget like Busch Stadium. Yeah. And if you do, you can have that. But it doesn't happen on accident, and a lot of hard work. And those, Billy and his guys are really dedicated out there. They do a great job.
Oh, yeah. It's like maintaining a golf course. There's so many hours that go into it behind the scenes that people don't know.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I better mention Justin because he's the real work behind the work.
Okay. So, all right. Well, good. Yeah. All right. Let's take another phone call here. Dennis, you are on the Garden Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning. This pertains to my lawn here in Webster Groves, an established lawn, fescue lawn. Okay. And here last year, I started to get some grass. It looks like it's not fescue, and it's not crabgrass. And they appear to have runners, and they're just invading my yard, and it's extremely difficult to pull up or out. Do you have any idea what that might be?
It's probably Bermuda, and it's it's brown now, right? I mean, I'm sure it's Bermuda.
All right, because I've got a lawn service. But I started having this problem last year, and it's getting worse. And can a lawn service take care of that with their chemicals, or how can I stop this stuff from taking over my yard?
Yeah, so I'm with Horseman Brothers, and we do a lot of lawn care in Webster. I have a lot of clients there. But anyway, yes, we can spot treat that with, as Glenn was talking earlier about, a product that contains miso. But Pilex would be the brand name. And, yes, we can spot treat the Bermuda. We need to hit it several times a year, like three times, usually after it starts to wake up, and then again through a couple times later in the summer. Yeah.
Should that be included in the typical lawn?
Being in the industry, and unless they specifically say they're going to do that, they're not going to do it. I mean, you're going to have to ask them to do it, and you're going to pay, more for it.
It's not inexpensive, and it's not one and done. It could take 1 or 2 years, and if you don't thicken up the lawn, the Bermuda will come right back, I refer to Bermuda in my classes as the king. It doesn't go away easily, and it's only going to be in your full sun areas. But just be prepared that it could take 1 or 2 years to, quote-unquote, get rid of Bermuda.
So there are chemical treatment then?
Sure. You bet.
All right. We'll get after it.
Yeah. Good luck.
Right. Thanks, Dennis. Final call. Eric, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, good afternoon. I live down here in DeSoto, and I have actually a remediated lawn. Like, they dug up my entire yard, and I'm not sure what type of grass they put down. I'm kind of wanting to get a nice uniform look, but I don't want to put too much stress on my yard. What are some options I can do to get that into a nice, really brilliant green-looking lawn,
Well, you have to have a fertilizer program for sure, and you have to mow properly. So my advice would be to fertilize at least 3 or 4 times a year, whether you use organic or synthetics, but have a program and then correlate that with some mowing properly at 3.5 to 4 inches. Are you irrigated down there, Eric?
No, unfortunately, we're not irrigated. I do have to move the sprinkler zone to zone probably every day to every other day.
Well, you should probably water for 2 days and not water for 2 days. I wouldn't water every day lightly because you'll encourage shallow roots if you do that. So have a good fertilizer program and have a good mowing schedule and let Mother Nature take over.
Yeah, and I would overseed in September, you know. So anyway, but thanks for calling, Eric. That's a good question.
Yep, that's going to do it for this edition of the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Jeff, Glenn, thanks again as always. Look forward to seeing you again.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. Yeah. Glad to be here.
All right, stay tuned. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.